Another Man's Poison, written by Anne Cleves and read by Sean Barrett. The moral right of the author has been asserted. Chapter 1. Ursula Otway drove the Land Rover over the cattle grid, then got out to shut the gate carefully behind her. Back in the vehicle, she paused for a moment before carrying on. It was late afternoon, and the hills threw long shadows over Crow Water. Now she was almost home, there was no hurry. She savored the relief of her return to the valley. She hardly left the farm now, apart from these monthly shopping trips to Appleworth, and each time the excursion became more of an ordeal. The drive along the dual carriageway to the superstore was a nightmare. Everyone seemed to go so fast. Traffic passed her, horns blaring, lights flashing, the drivers apparently irritated beyond reason by the slowness of the Land Rover. Once she had been so shaken by the journey that she had driven into the back of one of the sleek new cars queuing at the entrance to the supermarket car park. The woman had been as polished as her car, quite beautiful, Ursula saw, long-legged and golden-haired, but when she opened her mouth, she spoke incoherent filth. "I'm sorry," Ursula had stammered. "It's my fault. I'll pay." But that, it seemed, would not do. The woman was determined to draw attention to them both. "I only passed my test last week," she screamed. "Do you know what my husband will say?" "I'm sorry," Ursula said again. Once she thought, "I would have been able to deal with this. I might even have enjoyed it. What has happened to me?" Still, the woman would not get into her car and drive away. A crowd had gathered, and most of the shoppers stared at Ursula. She struck a strange and compelling figure, and realized suddenly how different she was from the rest of them. The girls wore designer tracksuits and smart white trainers, and the middle-aged women were smart enough to be at a conservative's ladies' luncheon. No one, it seemed, was as old as she. She was as tall and strong as a man, dressed in loose corduroy trousers, working boots, and a thick woolen jersey. "I should have changed before I came out," she thought desperately, but none of her clothes would have appeased these hostile women. At least she had taken off Fred's old tweed jacket before getting out of the Land Rover to face them. She knew it had holes in the elbows and smelled of sheep. Eventually the woman had run out of steam, and the audience had disappeared, leaving Ursula bewildered and frightened in the middle of the car park. Each time she returned to the supermarket, the memory of the confrontation returned, making her blush with shame and embarrassment. Then she had to face the hot, airless shop. She could, she supposed, go to the small family-run stores in Appleworth High Street, but she had a horror that there she would meet someone she knew, someone who would trap her in conversation. The supermarket, at least, was anonymous. She recognized none of the women who jostled past her, disdainful of her inability to make a choice between the competing brands of cat food. She always bought the cat food first. She had nothing of value left now but the cats. The other residents of Crowford thought she was mad to stay in Back Rig after her husband had died. How could she survive up there on the fells all alone, especially in the winter? Some family could move in there, make a proper go of it. But for the cats, it was home, and she would not consider moving them elsewhere. The thought of the cats cheered her and prompted her to move. She started the Land Rover and began to drive along the track to the farmhouse. She could see it ahead of her, surrounded by the spindly and wind-blown trees they had planted when they first lived there, to give the house some shelter. The track ran parallel to the road, which followed the edge of the lake. It climbed gently. At one time, all this had been back-rigged land, but she no longer farmed it herself. When Fred had died, she had handed it back to the estate. The lambs on the fell were fat and healthy, and she felt momentarily jealous of the farmer to whom the land had been leased. She missed the ritual of dipping and clipping and sending to market. Still, she thought, as she pulled up in the farmyard, she still had Lottie and Belle. She swung open the heavy door of the Land Rover and jumped down onto the yard. It was still muddy after the winter rain. She rolled up the canvas flap at the back of the vehicle and fastened it with a webbing strap, then began to lift out the